On Christmas Day, we read from Psalm 23. We didn't finish it well because we read the last few verses very, very quickly because our time was running out. And we said this, that Psalm 23 is arguably the most read, most quoted, most sung piece of literature in all of history. So in the Old Testament, Psalm 23 is probably the one of the most known piece of scripture to the church and even to those that are not in the church. In the New Testament, the most known piece of scripture is a verse from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. And we said, God's love is so magnificent, so immeasurable, that when he loves, he needs a whole world to love, to even begin. But that love is so immeasurable that he had to love the world, and then out of that love he gave, and he didn't just give anything, he gave his son. So those are the two scriptures we majored on at Christmas, on the Christmas Eve, Christmas Day service. So we read from Psalm 23, and this morning I thought I'll read from John 3. So if you have a look at John 3, we'll read from there and make some comments, then go home and eat lunch. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Father, we pray that you'll bless the reading of your word and help us, Lord God, to understand. Give us ears to hear and hearts that are receptive, eyes that are open, Lord God. Bless us this morning. Bless your word to us, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The last bastion that we try to conquer as human beings is death. And even the Bible says the last enemy that is going to be conquered is death. But man can't conquer death. You're going to die. There's a time to be born and a time to die. And obviously all of us are born because we are here. But there is going to come a time when you're going to die, whether you like it or not. They tell me, scientists, now this is not my own opinion, this is what they say, that the human brain never thinks that you are going to die. He knows that there's death. He knows other people are going to, but he doesn't actually think that you yourself are going to die maybe today. He doesn't think that way. You always think you're going to live forever. And so when you live and you try and prepare for life, we prepare for life as though we're never going to die, but you're going to die. Your parents, your forebears, and even some of our children, they die before their time. But death is something that all of us have to grapple with and have to learn to overcome. Scientists and rich people that want to live forever put themselves in whatever you call, they freeze themselves so that when scientists can create a human being that is going to live forever, they can resurrect them. Well, you're not meant to live forever unless you know the Lord. And in a sense, you are meant to live forever because God has put eternity in our hearts. But this thing called death is a barrier that we try and grapple with and overcome. And many times we try and overcome it with our own natural thinking and natural brain. Someone said, and they say it quite often, they say, if you're going to die, you're going to die like a dog. So I often say to them, if you're going to die like a dog, why do you live like a man? If you're going to die like a dog, live like one. But why do you live like a man that is looking to the future if you don't believe in God and when you die like a dog? Because there is something in us. We are not just made in the physical image of God. We are made in His image. And God has put eternity in our hearts. And that's part of the image of God in our lives, that we know that there is eternal life. Hallelujah. No amount of philosophy is going to change that. So we read this story. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler. He was a Pharisee and a ruler. The word ruler in the Hebraic and in the East is sometimes can be quite common. There was a rich young ruler. And anybody that was a Pharisee can rule in certain sectors of society. There was a Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue. There was the rich young ruler. There was Nicodemus, a ruler. He was a teacher of the law, an interpreter of the Torah, a man that was a religious man. And he believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the same God that you believe in. We believe in that God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But more so than that, if you're a Pharisee, you're a very religious person, you read the scriptures and you pray. You not only pray, you fast twice a week, which is a lot more than many of the church today do. Some of us think that our throats are cut when we fast. But here is a man who read the Bible, interpret the Bible, a ruler of the Jews, a lawyer in a sense, goes to church in the context of the synagogue, the church. He goes to church. He fasts twice a week and he prays, which is amazing because if you're a Pharisee, you have to memorize the scriptures. And we haven't got time to go into that today. We've done that before. So here was a man who was very, very religious, goes to church, read the Bible, prays, and fasts. But going to hell. That's virtually what Jesus said. Unless you are born again, you will never see, you'll never enter. You're not going to the place you think you're going. Now that's a very sobering thing to hear, especially coming from Jesus. Jesus is not just Jesus. Jesus is life. Jesus is truth. So here is Nicodemus facing with life itself and truth itself. And life and truth said, unless you're born again, you're going to hell on roller skates. Even though you give tithes to the church, you go to church, you read your Bible, you pray, and you fast. You don't go to heaven because you go to church. You don't go to heaven because you read your Bible. You don't go to heaven because you pray. You don't go to heaven because you're well off. You don't go to heaven because you're religious. You don't go to heaven because you're educated. None of that qualifies you for heaven. So Jesus said to this very religious man who believe in the same God that you and I believe in, if you don't get born again, you're going to hell. Now, just lately, and I know I do it quite often, but just more so lately than most times, I've been pondering on people that die, and some of them very, very famous. And some of them, we commemorate their memories. Writers write about them. Their sporting achievement or whatever achievement they had. And we remember them. And when we study, we quote them. But many of them are not in heaven. Many of them are in hell. Because it doesn't matter how much you know, how famous you are, unless you are born again. Hallelujah. Now you compare this man to us. You say, well, we believe in Jesus, the Son of God. Well, Nicodemus did also. He came to Jesus at night and he said, I believe you're from God. We believe that you're from God because no one can do the things that you're doing except they're from God. So I believe in you. He believed in God, the Father, the Son. Hello? That's who he believed in. But he's not going to heaven. Many missiologists, and I speak with some of them, and I read some of their books, and they say, you shouldn't evangelize the church. Well, you should. And many of them criticize the islanders. You know why? Because all islanders go to church. But not all, in fact, almost 90% of the islanders that go to church are going to hell. They don't know the Savior. So the same as Nicodemus, they have built sepulchres, they have built churches, they have built buildings to God. They've given up their lives to God, their substance and their time. They read the book, they go to church, but they go into hell. Because most of them are not born again. So in the island context, you have to evangelize the church. Derek Prince said when he went to Africa and he noticed something and all these ecclesiastical people and he said to them, you're just gathering people to go to hell, which is correct. Jesus said, Nicodemus, you may be a ruler of the Jews, you may be an interpreter of the Torah, you may pray every day, you may fast twice a week, you may go to church, but unless you are born again. So he said something, it was really, really great. He said, don't marvel when I say you must be born again. Unless you're born again, no amount of niceties, no amount of religiosity, no amount of anything will count in the end. Hallelujah. Unless you're born again, you will never enter the kingdom of God. So what does it mean by being born again? Because Jesus said, unless you're born again, and Nicodemus, being like all of us, said, how can I do that? Can I enter again into my mother's womb and be born a second time from my mother's womb? Jesus said, unless you're born of water and the Spirit. So you're born of water and the Spirit. And someone said to me, that's talking about baptism. I said, no, it's not. It's actually talking about being born. And all of us, when you're born of water. You come out of a tub of water in your mother's womb. And when the water breaks, you hope the midwife is close by. So when the water breaks, the baby comes out. You are born of water. That has nothing to do with baptism in water. It has to do with natural birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit. So being born in water is being born in the flesh. You were born in water from your mother's womb. But when you're born in the spirit, the Bible says you're born from above. You're born of the spirit. The wind blows where it wants to go. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it's heading. So is the spirit. You don't know, but you can feel it. You can sense it. You know its effect. Hallelujah. So all of us that are here, every single one of us, elderly, young people, babies, all of us have been born of water. But unless you're born of the Spirit, you're not going to heaven. You need a spiritual birth so that you can make it to where you think you should go. Now, many people want to go to heaven. I know heathens that think that their loved ones are going to heaven and their loved ones were as heathen as they were. I had a friend come to my office. Lovely man, great man, honorable man. And he started to, you know, started to swear. I said, if you're going to swear, get out of my office. Come back when you can learn English better. And his one of his relatives passed away, who was as heathen as he was. And he said, oh, he's in heaven. So everybody wants to go to heaven. But it's not your heaven. You don't serve the devil all your days and think that you're going to God's heaven. How can you give your best to the devil and expect to go to God's heaven? So many times when I preach at funerals, I'm very careful about what I say. I want to comfort those that mourn, but you also want to tell them the truth. Are you okay? I went to a pub one time to a service. It was at the Hautapu Hotel, and they serve from the bottle. The spirit come from a bottle. But there was an evangelist from another country that came to speak in New Zealand. And he had a meeting at the Hautapu Hotel. So I went to the meeting. A lot of us went to the meeting because it was a... And when he got up to speak, he said, pray this with me. So he led everybody in the sinner's prayer. And then now you're saved. No, they are not. Just because you repeat a prayer doesn't mean that you're saved. Just because you repeat a phrase does not mean that you're going to heaven. See, you have to be born again. Now, Jesus uses natural birth, speaking to Nicodemus, to describe that that which is born of the flesh is flesh. All right? Now, when my mom and dad conceived me, I wasn't born at conception. There are many people who encounter God, but they think they are born again. They are not. So my worry as a pastor is that many people that make decisions for God, they come to the front, they say a prayer, and then they think they're okay. That's probably just conception. They just encountered God. Now, how many know you were conceived and there was life before you were born? Right? You weren't just born when you were conceived. You were conceived, and then there's a thing called pregnancy, and there is life from conception to birth. And sometimes, in fact, many times, the spiritual birth is the same. Some churches have seeker-sensitive services. Sometimes that's great, sometimes that's not so great. But many times a seeker-sensitive service allows a person to be conceived and be born. Many times people come to church and they're not born again. I spoke at a church one time and a guy came up to get saved. And I said, how long have you come to this church? He said, 6 years. I said, what? I've been coming 6 years. I sit at the back, same seat every Sunday. But today, I want to give my life to the Lord. We had a lady come to our conference. She was a helper to one of the speakers in our conference. They came from overseas, so the two of them came from overseas. That lady actually was the administrator of a Pentecostal church. She came to church every day for several years. She looked after the finances of the church, but she wasn't even saved. And one morning, they had an altar call, and she came up, and someone asked him, she said, I came to give my life to Jesus. What happened? Somewhere there was a conception. Then there was a birth. I spoke at a church in Auckland, and the first one that came to the front to be saved was a lovely young man. He's in his late teens, early 20s. And I said to him, what are you here for? He said, I want to give my life to Jesus. I said to his father, who was the pastor, he said that's the first time he's made a decision for the Lord. But he grew up in the church, so all this time, something had happened, and then he got saved. I spoke at a church in Christchurch, and the first man that came to the front to get saved was the keyboard player of the team. I said, I came to give my life to Jesus. He's been playing in the church and hearing the word of God, but that particular Sunday morning, he gave his life to Christ. I think many times when people are conceived in the spirit and we want to follow them through and they disappear, and you say, what kind of commitment did they have? Because when you are born again, you are born again. Hallelujah. And when you're born again, your whole life changes. I think that's why many times when a prostitute who's abused all her life gives her life to the Lord, all of a sudden she totally 100% change and 180 degree turn. Why? Because all this time she's seeking, looking, wondering, waiting for the reality to come. Hallelujah. And if you're here this morning, and there is any doubt about your salvation, why don't you settle it today? Whether you go to church, whether you made a commitment, whatever, if you're here this morning and there is any question mark of a doubt, settle it. At the end of this year, as we enter into the year of double portion, settle it so that you can enter into the things of God in this coming year of vision and direction and double portion, and you can enjoy the goodness of God in the land of the living. Hallelujah. Can you have a look at Hosea, and then we'll close. Hosea Hosea chapter 9 and verse 11. As for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird, no birth, no pregnancy, and no conception. Ephraim is the great, great forebear of the man that stretched out the spear. If you're visiting today, you don't understand that. The people in the church understand that. Joshua is of the tribe of Ephraim, and God said to Joshua, stretch forth your spear until the battle is done. Now, this same people, this is what God said, as for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird. When the glory of God departs, when Ichabod is written on your life, the glory of God departs. It says, there is no birth because there is no pregnancy because there was no conception. Today, you don't have to go home and say, I wonder if I'm born again. If I ask you a question, are you alive? Said, I don't know. Let me think. You know you're alive. Why? Because you're born of water. If I smack you, you'll smack me back because you'll feel the pain. Why? Because you're born of water. You know. But the same way, you don't second guess your spiritual birth. And if there is any doubt that you're born again, make your election and calling sure today. Hallelujah. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, you've known for a long time, but you haven't. Today is a great day to be born again. To give your life to Jesus and say, Lord, I am yours forever. Hallelujah.